In the text before us today, Jesus had cast out an evil spirit from a man, and the spirit had caused the man to be mute. But when the spirit was gone from the man was able to speak. The problem went away with the demon. Now, in last week's sermon, I dealt a whole lot about our suspicions related to demon possession and our refusal to believe it and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going over that this week. If you want to know about it, like I said, you need to get the tape, listen to it, pick up the exegetical notes. A whole lot of it is explained in there. Read it, study it, think about it. Now, what Jesus did that day amazed the people who watched it happen. But at some point in the conversation that day, Jesus felt obligated to warn the man that he had set free that the spirit from whom he had set free might potentially return to him. Now, let me set the events in order. And I need to tell Peter, because I forgot to do this, okay, that the slide, if he printed it the way I did it, is out of order. It's called a cold. Cold medicine does weird things to your mind. You forget things. You get them all mixed up. But here's what happened. The man was possessed by an evil spirit. The man was cured. The people were amazed. I like the part in the thing, and I'm not going to deal with this, but it just always strikes me that Jesus is being sarcastic with them. They're saying, you're casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, by the power of Beelzebub, which is, by the way, another name for Satan. You're doing it by the devil, is what they're saying. And he looks at him and he says, if I do it by Beelzebub, who do your disciples do it by? Now, we miss it because we think his disciples are doing it. Their disciples are doing it. They're not. He's being quite sarcastic, okay? And it's kind of like cool to sarcastic people to see Jesus practice sarcasm. But anyway, the people were amazed at what Jesus did, and the reason they were amazed is because nobody did that kind of thing in that day. But Jesus was concerned about the evil spirit's return to the man it had left. Jesus warned the man that, the man who had been released from the power of the demon, Jesus warned him and the people listening to him about the danger that comes from such evil spirits. Jesus said, such spirits as this one go out through arid places seeking rest. Now, let me translate what that means to you. It means that the demon released, cast out of the place or person it has chosen to own, moves about, looking for a similar person or place to inhabit. It's literally looking for a new home, a new person whom it may influence for evil and ultimately destroy. Now, don't be mistaken about it. Okay, don't be mistaken about it. Let me be perfectly clear about what that means. It means that when a demon is released from one person, it does not cease to exist. It is not gone, it continues to live. Instead of ceasing to exist, it looks around, searching for an other vulnerable person over whom it may gain control. It is seeking someone who is not sensitive to its presence, but who it can gain, who is open to its influence. Right now, as you sit here in this room before me, right now, at this very moment, there are such spirits moving about this place. Here in this very room, they are moving about. They are looking for unsuspecting, vulnerable souls. The spirit, the roaming spirit, will call out to your spirit. And when it discovers that you are somehow susceptible to it, vulnerable to it, it will move in on you. You hear the warning? Now, you may well ask, what is it that makes my spirit respond to the call of a demonic spirit? And there are several things that make that happen. Number one, if you have a rebellious or seductive nature, you will listen to to evil spirits. I want what I want, and I am going to do whatever I have to do to get it, and I don't care who it hurts or how it offends God, I'm going to get it because I want it. That is a rebellious spirit. And if you find yourself sitting here today saying in your own mind and in your own spirit, I'm going to get what I want and I don't care what anybody says, I won't listen to any counsel, I'm going to do what I please regardless of what the scripture says, I'm going to do it my way and I don't care, then you are in rebellion. And that will make you susceptible to roaming spirits. Another approach to that is a refusal to agree with the Word of God. I know God's Word says it. I don't believe it. So God's word talks about spirits roaming around and seducing people, but I don't believe that. That's too superstitious for me. So you sit there and you're not in agreement with the word of God, and that's rebellion. And that's what the spirits roaming around among us are looking for. Someone who is vulnerable because in their nature, they are rebellious. You know which children are in danger, right? They are the ones who will not listen to parental warning. They are the ones who are determined that they're going to do what they want. They're going to get it anyhow they can. They're going to go do what they want to do, and they don't care what mom or dad has to say. They are the ones in constant danger because they will not listen. They live in rebellion. Their spirit is rebellious. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. Children, close your ears. Every child in this room is born with a rebellious spirit. And so is every adult. It is our nature to rebel, and we must bring ourselves into submission to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God if indeed we'll be able to resist those roaming spirits. But the spirits are moving around and they're looking for the rebellious among us right now. The second thing that makes us susceptible to the call of a demon is involvement with a rebellious or seductive person. Other people come up and they say, you know, you're not really all that bad. I think you're pretty hot. Okay. I don't understand why God would be offended if you did that. That preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't have to listen to him. You're free. You can do whatever you want. And they tell you that over and over again until they encourage you to join them in their rebellion. Okay, you want to know what's really bad about it? Such people can be people of religious authority. That's what was happening in the scripture text that was read to you today. The religious people are opposing Jesus. They're basically saying, you're casting out demons by the power of Satan. And they are encouraging other people to believe it so that the people who are listening say, well, wait a minute, if the religious leaders are saying that, maybe we ought to ask too, so you better give us a sign, Jesus. We need a sign. That's next week's sermon. But anyway, that's what they're saying. And they are encouraged in their rebellion by the authority of the very persons who are standing before them as leaders, religious leaders, who have rebellious spirits. Now, I'm going to give you an example, practical example of how this works today. In some churches today, preachers will stand up and tell the congregation that it is perfectly fine if we have same-sex marriage. It's in contradiction to the Word of God. Okay, but they'll stand up and say it because they believe you ought to throw that part of the Word of God away. That's a rebellious spirit. Others will stand up and say, you know, it's perfectly fine to abort a baby if you don't want it. And it's not because the Word of God says it's not. Don't do it. See, even religious authorities can be those who encourage our spirits to become rebellious because they themselves are rebellious. And when we begin to listen to them, we become vulnerable to the spirits that are moving among us to call us into relationship with them. Another thing that can cause us to respond to The wooing of an evil spirit is the circumstances we face in life. Sometimes we're just downright unhappy with the life we live. We don't like it. So we begin to blame God for the stuff that's on us. I hate being sick. Okay? I don't like it one bit. Okay? And I could get mad at God because he made me sick this week. Sometimes it is the heavy burden of responsibility. I am just tired of being the one who has to be responsible for everybody else around me. Would you believe that there are days I feel like that as your pastor? You getting it? The demon will come up and he'll begin to say, you know, I'll give you this. He said to Jesus, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the things your heart could desire. He'll begin to tell you that you won't get the stuff you want if you try to live life God's way. All you're doing is denying yourself all the pleasures of life. But if you'll do it my way, if you'll just come with me, you can have a big screen television, one of them fancy cars. I'll just give it all to you. But he won't, because he's a liar. It is the Bible that describes him as such. He will tell you lies because his goal is not to prosper you as God wants, but to destroy you. That's all he wants, is to take you under, and he'll tell you anything he can to do it. And then the last reason that we become susceptible to these spirits is a proclivity to some thought or behavior that you share with a spirit. Now, this one's a little bit more difficult. If it's a lying spirit and you have a tendency to lie, he'll come up and encourage you to lie. Okay, he'll just start telling you, it's okay, do it. If you have an adulterous spirit, he'll begin to talk to you and to tell you, adultery's perfectly fine, nothing wrong with that. I mean, why not? Whatever it may be, he will come up and he'll start telling you that the thing that you know is wrong because everybody tells you it's wrong, the scripture says it's wrong, he'll start telling you that thing's right. He'll start trying to entice you into the very behavior that he likes because he sees in you a weakness. He senses your proclivity. He wants to pull you in the direction against which you are inclined to go, because he knows that if you move in that way, you will desert God, forsake your friends, and become vulnerable to him. And here's the news. He ain't going to grab you and pull you over there all at once. He's going to sweet talk you one step at a time. A little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, some more the third day, and before you know it, there you are. So what Jesus wanted that man, and through that man all of us to know, is how demons work. They roam around seeking whom they may devour. And when they find a person whose guard is down, they move in to destroy his life. But on the day about which the Bible speaks, Jesus went on to warn those who were once susceptible to a demon that demons will often return to the very one from whom they were cast out. Why? Number one, that person an easy prey. I think demons keep little notebooks. Got you once, they put it down, did it this way, ha ha. So they know your susceptibilities. They already know how to call out to your spirit and attract you and pull you in. So after the demon gets you once, he knows how to get you twice. And the call of that demon come a second time will already be appealing to you. The second reason they come back to the same place is because that place is unprepared. The person thinks that he has been set free. And our assumption is that once we have been set free from a demon, once the demon has left us, the demon is gone and will leave us alone forever. But it's not so. The person from whom the demon left is no longer watching. He is no longer prepared to resist him. So he is easy prey when the demon returns because the demon knows him well and his guard is down. And the third reason that the demons return to the same place where they had been is that the demon already thinks he owns that place. You want to know what? Catch it. He's right. That's what the Bible says. The one who controls you, the one you serve, is the one who owns you. The demon does indeed own us when he takes claim of us, and he's only reclaiming what was already his when he returns. And because he owned it at one point, he believes he has every right to take it again. And by law, he does. So Jesus warned those who were once possessed that they are likely to be attacked by the same evil spirit that once owned them again. He warned them that the spirit which plagues you, even though you cast it off once, will return to bother you over and over again. You were warned by Jesus. But, said Jesus, when the demon returns, that demon will not return alone. He'll bring some buddies with him. Other evil spirits like him who will share the reclaimed person. Those spirits will reinvest in him. And Jesus said, the condition of the man will be worse than it was before. So what are we going to do? What should we do? How can we resist and not become vulnerable to the spirits that roam around in the world? You ready? Number one, be on guard. The cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. They tell us that. You let down your guard and the enemy will sneak in and take you. The scripture says, the devil prowls around like a lion, seeking those he may consume. I'm sorry. I don't want to get too pointed here, but you're being warned. And you got to say to yourself, why is God telling me this except I need to hear it? So the first thing I need to do is understand that Satan wants to get me. He wants to take me down and destroy my life, and I need to be constantly on guard. So when I feel myself rebelling against the Word of God, I need to stop it. I need to call it down in myself. When I feel myself disregarding the words of the Scripture, I need to say, no, I won't go there. I won't do that. When a seductive person begins to tell me that unacceptable behaviors are acceptable for me, I need to say, no, they're not. You understand? I need to be on guard. The Spirit gets us when our guard is down. Number two, we need to resist the devil. It's real clear. The Bible says, if you resist him, he will flee. Okay? If you resist him, he will flee. If you look in Matthew 4, you will see Jesus doing exactly that. Every time Satan attacks him in that text, Jesus says, hey, wait a minute, and quotes the scripture. And he resists the devil with a scripture. He turns back the fiery darts which are shot at him with a shield of scripture. He fights Satan back with the sword of the scripture. Can I just tell you something? If you don't know the Bible, you are lost in the battle, because it's the only way to win. And if you're not involved in a study, a serious study of the Word of God here at Cornerstone or somewhere, you better get in one, because it is the defense that God has given you to resist the attack of Satan. And if you don't know how to play with a weapon, you're lost. The war is over. So if you're going to not be vulnerable, first thing is you have to be on guard. Second thing is you have to be resolved to resist him. To resist him. To stand against him, to say no to him, to resist him. And the third thing you have to do is cling to Jesus. He is our defender. He is our shield. He is the strong tower into which we run when we are under attack. Without Jesus, we are helpless individuals. But with Jesus, we are saved. Said Jesus, when the devil attacks, you will be blessed if you hear the word of God and do it. Now I'm going to do a kind of bold thing here today. We're going to conclude our worship and we're going to sing a song as we're concluding. We're not done yet. Frank's going to sing at the end, but praise team, you need to come. I'm going to sing a song about the power and the awesomeness of our God. And I have this feeling as I talk to you that some of you are sitting there saying, you know what, I'm under attack. Satan's after me. I'm vulnerable to him. He wants to get me. He wants to undermine my authority. He wants to take me. And what I want to do is put up my guard. I want to resist him, and I want to cling to Jesus. And so without telling anybody anything, sometimes we have to tell people all this stuff, but we don't. I'm just going to open up the altar. Okay? And if you know that he's after you right now, if you know that, nobody's going to ask you a question about why or how or any of that stuff. That's not going to happen this morning. But what I'm going to tell you is while we're singing this song, you just need to come up here and bow down on your knees before the Lord and cling to Jesus and cast off that spirit. You say to him what Jesus said, "Get behind me." If you resist him, he will flee. You come as we sing.